Well, good morning, and again, happy Thanksgiving. Joy to be able to be here this morning and to be able to share God's word. And I want to tell a story to begin with this morning. I've never told it before, but 2 years ago, on December 24th, we had just kind of wrapped up everything with our Christmas Eve service here at Westview. And my family had already headed home for the evening, and so I think I was the last one to kind of lock up shop here, and started heading out home. And as I was heading home, kind of merging onto Stony off of Crowchild, I hit a pretty slick spot. And as I hit that kind of slick spot on the on-ramp onto Stony, my car actually began to lose control. And as my car began to lose control, I began to spin. And probably within the first few revolutions of my vehicle, I started singing a Carrie Underwood song, if you know what I mean. And at that point, I had zero control over my car. Jesus, take the wheel. There's an illusion for you. And I knew that kind of I didn't have really many great options at that point. And as my car continued to spin and kind of head towards the right-hand side of that road, you know that it's kind of peppered with light stands the kind of whole way around. And my car is heading straight towards those lampstands. And as it headed towards, again, I had no control over what could happen next. And then as my car began to head closer and closer and closer, it just ended up landing nice and softly into a bank of snow, missing a lampstand probably by about that much from the driver's side. No collision. No damage. No injury. Thankfully for me, a fire truck was heading along the other way of Stony Trail, just ironically, you know, conveniently, divinely. And they turned around, and four much stronger men than I am pushed me off to safety, and I headed home that evening, hugged my wife, kissed her, and woke up the next morning and celebrated Christmas with my family. You could say I was thankful. You see, this morning, as we take a pause from our Modern Family series, I want us to ask ourselves, what does it truly mean to be thankful? I know that my story might be a little extreme, but I realize that this year, that there are many of us who share stories of struggle, that there are many of us who share stories of situations and experiences that are beyond our control, that at the end of it, I pray that we just thank God. I mean, we've journeyed through enough this week as it is with the tragedies in Edmonton and Las Vegas, and we have seen much. We have felt it. And so I want us to ask ourselves this morning, like, what is there really to be thankful for? As we reflect upon this last year, as you reflect upon this last year, to ask yourselves this morning, what am I truly thankful for? And maybe if you're here this morning and there's not a lot that you have to be thankful for, I'm just glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Because even if we're taking a step out of the Modern Family series, I want you to remember that we are family. That the reason why we've gathered here this morning is because we are family. So before we go any further this morning, I want us to pause and I want us to pray. So let's do that. Lord Jesus, I love you. And I thank you for this morning, and I thank you for my friends as we gather here together. There is much that we do have to be thankful for, and so I pray that as we sit under your word this morning, that it would speak to us, that it would illuminate in us one thing, perhaps just one thing that we could be thankful for this morning. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You see, for many of us, we live as families scattered. I know this all too well in my life because my family all lives in Vancouver. Charity's parents live full-time down in Phoenix. And so the reality for our lives is we are scattered. Charity's got a couple of cousins here, but really that's about it when you look at our immediate family. And the same goes likely for many of you this morning as well, whether your grandparents and your grandkids live somewhere, anywhere, but they don't live here. Or maybe your parents, your kids have moved out this year. Or maybe they're off attending school somewhere and you find yourselves to be empty nesters. Maybe for some of you, you've moved here to Calgary for work. And so that move to Calgary now has kind of pulled you away, scattered you from all of those relationships, all of those friends, all of those things that you once held dear that now are no longer present as you come to Thanksgiving this week. And it's this way as well with the family of God. It says, if you search through the scriptures, you find stories of God's people scattered and separated. You see, Israel wandered in the desert for 40 years, scattered. And we pick that up in Numbers 32, 10 to 13. You can follow along in your sermon notes, and things like scriptures and words will be on the screen behind me. But we read this. It says, the Lord's anger was aroused that day as he swore this oath, because they have not followed me wholeheartedly. Not one of those who were 20 years old or more when they came up out of Egypt will see the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. No one except Caleb and Joshua, for they followed the Lord wholeheartedly. The Lord's anger burned against Israel as he made them wander in the wilderness for 40 years until the whole generation of those who had done evil in his sight was gone. You see, this text warns us that Israel failed to follow the Lord wholeheartedly. They rebelled against the Lord, and so they were scattered for 40 years as a result of their sin. And these are times, that there are times in our families as well, where family members are scattered as a result of sinful choices that have been made. That these are painful reminders that we live in a broken and fallen world. And these choices that separate us cause great hurt, cause great pain. But these are times as well, there are times when we are the ones that initiate the scattering. And these are not easy decisions, but neither was the decision of the Lord to send Israel out. But it was necessary. It was necessary for Israel to come back to him, to love him, and to serve him wholeheartedly. As you continue to search the scriptures, another story that echoes this is from the Gospel of Luke. It's the story of the prodigal son. You see, the prodigal son wandered by choosing to separate himself from family. We pick this up, Luke chapter 15, verse 11. It says this, and he said, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey to a far country. The youngest son chooses for himself to separate from his family, to take his inheritance and run, and to spend every last cent on a lifestyle as far removed from that which he was raised to follow. But through his wanderings, his own, if you want to call it, desert experience, he comes to his senses. And we pick it up in verse 17. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against you, against heaven. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him, and he ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. See, the father, thankful for his son's return, runs to him, wraps his arms around him. This is one of the most beautiful images we have in the Gospels of what a loving father ought to look like. What it means as sons and daughters to run to our daddy, and for him to be running to us with arms open wide. The Apostle Paul picks up on this language of separation in his letter to the church in Ephesus, and he declares this, remember that at a time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Paul is reminding the Ephesian church, as much as he is reminding us, that we all are separated from Christ as a result of our sin. You see, sin scatters and separates us from God. Sin scatters and separates us from God, but yet there is hope that we are brought near by the blood of Jesus. What Jesus accomplished on the cross, paying the penalty for our sin, dying the death we should have died, and now as a result, we have this regathering and reuniting as his children. And Paul concludes, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers. No longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. This image that Paul uses now is family language. That Paul's saying, you're no longer foreigners and citizens, you're no longer out there, but you're in here. That you're with one another. That you're here in the family of God. What beautiful language to use as we talk about the family in this series and in this morning on Thanksgiving. So if I were to ask you, what is the image that comes to your mind when you think of family gathered together at Thanksgiving? I mean, what would be the images that come to mind? Would you think that perhaps it would be turkey? This is one of my favorite images in all of the interwebs when it comes to Thanksgiving and turkey. I'm sorry if I offended you if you love Sesame Street. I grew up on it, so I'm going to pick on them. Would turkey be the image you choose as what you think of when you look at Thanksgiving? Maybe it's not turkey. Maybe the image that you pick up on is pumpkin pie. This is a picture of a pumpkin pie I grabbed from Costco this morning. Because Costco pumpkin pie literally can feed a small village. If you've never indulged on one, it's like the bread and the fishes. It just keeps multiplying and it feeds everybody. It's just literally the gift that keeps on giving for $5.99 at Costco. Or maybe for you, the image that you think of when you think of Thanksgiving and the family gathered together is the table. And I would say that this is such a beautiful image of what it means to be family. What it means to be together. I don't think there's a stronger image out there than the table. And I want to be sensitive here because, again, I realize that we don't all get warm and fuzzy at the idea of a family dinner around the table. In a church our size, I know that there are some who feel abandoned and ostracized and excluded from your family's table. There will be some for whom the empty chairs at the table this Thanksgiving will bring grief and sorrow and sadness. And if we've learned anything from our modern family series so far, is that family is messy. That it isn't always picture perfect. And that sometimes it isn't what we wish it was. But isn't this as well how we feel sometimes about the church? That it's kind of messy. That it isn't always picture perfect. And I would argue that it's never going to be picture perfect this side of eternity. And it isn't always the way we wish it was. One of my favorite recording artists is a fellow by the name of David Crowder. If you haven't listened to David Crowder, crawl out from under the rock you're living in and listen to his music. But one of my favorite songs that David Crowder has written is a song called Come As You Are. And it's the lyrics of this song that have had a profound impact on myself. Most of his lyrics have had a profound impact in my life, and I've sought him out and I've seen him I don't even know how many times in concert. But I've put the notes, the lyrics to the songs in your sermon notes this morning, and they're going to be on the screen, and I want to read them for us this morning as we look at what it means to be thankful And so let me read them this morning. I'm not going to sing them. I can't do justice to Crowder, but let me read them for you. Come out of sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, O sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. O wanderer, come home, you're not too far. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are. There's hope for the hopeless and all those who've strayed. Come sit at the table, come taste the grace. And it's those last two lines when I heard this song for the first time that hit me square between the eyes. Come sit at the table. Come taste the grace. I don't know about your family's kind of faith tradition when you gather around the Thanksgiving table. Maybe for you, as you gather around the table, as you maybe have already gathered around the table this Thanksgiving, maybe you share something that you're thankful for. Go around the table. Everyone kind of shares something. When you get to the kids, it gets awkward, often quite funny, but always kind of gives some good comic relief within your thankfulness. Maybe you say grace. Maybe somebody, matriarch or patriarch of your family, sits there at the table and says grace, or maybe each of you say grace on the table. But what I wanted us to think about this morning, what I was challenged with these lyrics that we read is, do we just say grace? Like, do we just give lip service about grace? Or do we extend grace in such a way that it's palpable? Like in a way where others can taste it. That it lingers on their tongue like a good meal. I mean, many of us have had an amazing meal. We can recount the stories. I still have one meal that sticks out for me in my life, and it was at a small Austrian restaurant in Mexico. I know. Stay with me. It had maybe 30 seats. My parents and I, my brother, we were down there vacationing. They wanted us to, you know, expand our palate and try all these things. And we went there, and it was this kind of roasted chicken with kind of malty, kind of mustardy, grainy kind of sauce going on with kind of demi-glazed vegetables and some potatoes that had something. Oh, it was just good. And I Googled it before I preached the sermon this morning, and it's still on the menu. The restaurant is still there. And it's a meal to me that lingers in my mind. It's unforgettable. Because just as sin scatters and separates us from God, grace goes and gathers. God's grace goes and gathers. You see, God's grace is available for the broken and for the brokenhearted. God's grace is available for the sinners. God's grace is available for the wanderers and for the prodigals. God's grace is hope for the hopeless. And that is something we ought to give thanks for. That is something we ought to give thanks for this morning. And part of this whole Thanksgiving service is doing things a little bit differently. And what I want to transition us into now, actually, is a time of participatory communion. Not as much here around the communion table, but there. You see, it was around the table that Jesus spent his final meal with his disciples, teaching them and sharing in communion. And we read this in Matthew's gospel. We pick it up in verse 26. While they were eating, Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." And then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood from the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Our focus this morning is on what thankfulness looks like. What are we truly thankful for? My heart is that we are challenged to look beyond our material blessings, beyond ourselves even and ponder in our hearts a deep sense of thankfulness because of what Christ has done for us. That's what brings us to the communion table this morning. And this morning I want us to do things different. We didn't want communion to simply be tacked on to the end of a service. We recognize as a staff the significance of communion, of what it means to partake in these elements that Christ has said to participate in. To recognize that as we come together as family, that we share not only around the dinner table, but as the family of God around the communion table. To offer thanks for what He has accomplished. And so what I would like to do now is call the worship team forward and as well invite those who I've asked to be a part of serving communion this morning to head over to your tables. The point of communion is to give thanks, to offer thanks. If you're here this morning and you've declared that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, that Jesus is the forgiver of your sins, the leader of your life, then what we as a church would invite you to do is to participate in serving, to participate in being a part of the elements. If you're still seeking, if you're still searching, you're here trying to figure out what is this that we're talking about, who is this Jesus that you're worshiping, then we just simply invite you to sit where you are. To think about what's going on, and if you've got questions, feel free to talk to any one of us as a staff team. We would love to share with you more. In just a moment, I'm going to pray. And after I pray, what I want you to do is to head over to one of the stations here, to take of the bread, to take of the cup. You're welcome to participate right there, or you're welcome to take the elements back to your seat to spend a moment in prayer, in reflection, in quiet of your heart. And then you can just leave the cups at your seats. But I want us as a family of God to engage, to not just have these elements come to us, but us to go to them out of a posture of coming to Jesus. A posture of humility saying, I need to come to you as I know you've come to me. So let me pray for us this morning, and then I invite you to go and to participate in communion. Let me pray. Lord, I love you. And I thank you for this morning as we gather together as a church family. We have the image in the story of the prodigal son, Lord, of you running to us. Of the son running to his father. And so I pray this morning now as we go and walk towards these elements, the bread and the cup, that we would do this in remembrance of you, Jesus, in remembrance of what you have done, that your sacrifice on the cross for us, that you died the death that we should have died and you lived the life that we couldn't have lived. And so we come this morning thankful. Thankful for life. Thankful for perhaps this morning the breath in our lungs, if not anything more. But you have given us this day, and so we remember, and we are thankful. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.